Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Tuesday, January 18th. To begin with, you know that this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. Just to share a few helpful tips for people joining via phone call, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make any comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone on the video conference, you know that you can press on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you go under reactions, click on the hand raise icon, that'll raise and lower your virtual hands. So this helps us knowing who intends to speak, and we can have one speaker at a time. As you know that we do have ASL interpreters with us on this meeting, therefore please state your name first. It helps them do their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone call knowing who the speaker is at the moment. Anyone looking to make public comments, please inform me either now or send me a chat message or raise your hands at the time of the public comments section so that we can put you on the list to make your comments. And we can have everyone go in the order that the names are received. Just as a reminder, everyone who would like to make comments, you would be given 3 minutes. Before 3 minutes time, I would approximately 30 minutes beforehand, I would try and give you a heads up telling you 30 seconds. Excuse me, I said 30 minutes, 30 seconds, so that you know that you have X number of seconds remaining in your 3 minutes, and you would hear an alert at the end of 3 minutes indicating that your 3 minutes is up. And we are doing that just to make sure that everyone who needs to make their comments gets an opportunity. If we have additional time, we will definitely come back to you. Chair Simon Ford, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda before taking roll call.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Give me a quick moment and I will see if I can share my screen so that the agenda is visible to those who can see. I'm hoping my screen is visible at this time. Okay, so after I finish reading the agenda and go through the roll call of AAC members, Chair Simon Ford will review the agenda for today's meeting and approve. The committee will approve or amend the prior meeting minutes as needed. At 4:10, we have customer service and outreach report. At 4:15, we have Michael Wilson Award, Rush Award, and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:25, we have a topic, COVID positive drivers and contact tracing. Mr. Blake and or Ms. Williams Hall will give us information about that. 4:45, we have information. We have a topic called Metro Access Global Positioning System, and Terry and Williams Hall will give us information on that. 5:15, there is a committee discussion about WMATA budget, Metro Access fares. At 5:35, we will have public comment section, and the meeting would adjourn at 6 p.m. At this point, I would stop sharing my screen. And at this point, I would take the roll call attendance for AAC members. So please confirm your presence. Elver Ariza Silva, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia, Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy. Rico is on the call with us. Deborah Fisher. Marcy Goldstein. Melanie Henderson. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Anthony Oberg. Phil Posner.
Here and there, back and forth between my two meetings.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Summerford.
Here.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. And Kelly Simonow. Okay, that concludes the roll call for today's meeting. At this point, Chair Summerford, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right, thank you so much. So we're gonna move this meeting forward.
Sorry, this is Rico just saying that I'm here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so first we're gonna review the agenda and minutes from the prior meeting. Is there any additions to this fully packed agenda? Anyone from the committee? Hearing the crickets, I would like to get a motion to move the agenda as is.
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. The motion carries to move the agenda as is. The minutes from the prior meeting in December, are there any motions for any changes or additions or anything else of that nature? Hearing the crickets, I would like to get a motion to move to adopt the minutes as is for the month of December for the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting.
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. The motion carries. Next, we have customer service and outreach reports. Ms. Anderson and crew.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson with the Office of Metro Access Service. At this time, I'd like to present Kay Clark with MTM to provide the report of our public comment resolution from our last session.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Good afternoon. Happy New Year. There are no outstanding public comments to address from December's meetings, but I still would like to provide the commendations for the month of December. Metro Access received 231 during that month, and I will provide the count by provider. First Transit received 39, TransDev 57, the MVOCC 50, Challenger 27, Diamond Transportation 53, Abilities Ride 1, Eligibility 3, and MTM QA 1. And that completes my report.
Thank you so much. Are there any outreach reports?
Currently at this time, we are not conducting any in-person outreach. However, we certainly are as we receive calls either into our office or the Office of ADA Policy and Planning, following up with each and every one to make sure that any customer issues or concerns are being taken care of.
All right, thank you so much. So next on the agenda, we have the awards, Michael Wilson Award, Rush Award, and Metro Access AAC Safety Award. I know the Rush Award is on hold until we come back in person, whenever that might be, during this pandemic. So is there an award recipient, Ms. Anderson?
Yes, sir. I'm glad to present Ms. Nicole Ridgway with MV to present this afternoon's Michael Wilson Award recipient.
Good afternoon, everyone. Again, I'm Nicole Ridgway, and I am the project manager with MV Transportation, responsible for leading the operations for the Operations Control Center. And it is my pleasure that we recognize our reservation supervisor, Ms. Katarine Bena Frias. She goes by Kat. She is on the call with us. There she is. Hi, Kat. We're so very proud of you.
Thank you.
Pat has been with MV in the reservations department for 2 years. And during that time, she's been promoted to supervisor, which is a feat in itself. She is very well versed in trapeze and can assist with our Spanish speaking clientele as well. And so she is just a fabulous resource. She goes out of her way to assist everyone, you know, that calls in, as well as her fellow peers and other employees that are within the OCC. She possesses experience over 8 years in customer service. So again, she comes to us with a wealth of experience. And in her time with MV, she has exhibited a great level of attention to detail, not only just in trip booking, but she's excelled in providing top-notch customer service to our Metro Access customers. She truly holds a passion for the service we provide and has taken initiative in assisting other agents and contributing to the management staff with, you know, great suggestions, concerns, and ideas for improvements and efficiencies with the service. With her efforts, like I said, she's been recently promoted to reservation supervisor, and I'm really excited to see her develop and grow professionally with our company. We expect and look forward to extraordinary work from Kat and her efforts to service our Metro Access customers. So Kat, we're just so proud of you. I knew Michael Wilson personally, and you know, you embody all of the great qualities that he shared with us when he was with us. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And also thank you for this award. I'm honored for this award, and I love my job and I love to help people, also with the Spanish people.
I have something for you in the office. I'll make sure you get it.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for allowing us the opportunity to present this award.
Thank you.
And thank you for the work that you do. Next, we're going on with our wonderful presentation. So who's going to lead it?
Mr. Semaford, I'm sorry. We do have AAC safety.
Oh, okay.
Award recipient.
I'm sorry, I jumped the gun.
Yeah, you jumped the gun, Mr. Semaford. But anyway, I'd like to present, I think Robbie Worth is on.
Yes.
Robbie?
Thank you. Thank you, Allison. The award this month for the safety award is going to Joseph Dixon. Is he on the video, Cam?
Hey, Robbie, this is Stephanie. So Mr. Dixon's coming up into the lot right now. He got stuck in traffic.
Okay. All right. Do you want me to proceed, or do you want to move on, come back?
So what I could do for you, Mr. Worth, when he does come, just let me know. We'll stop our fruitful conversation with this next topic, do that award, and then dive right back into it. How about that?
That'd be great, because we want to make sure that he delivered his last customer on timely fashion. So
of course, I'm very flexible.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so next, without further ado, we're going to talk about this next topic, Mr. Blake and or Ms. Williams-Hall. Who wants to take the lead?
There's some for this.
I'll start, but go ahead.
I see Mr. Rush has raised her hand. Ms. Rush, did you want to make any comments?
Oh, go ahead, Ms. Rush.
This is kind of off the subject, but it just came on the news that the GM is retiring for Metro. Is that correct?
That is correct. He announced today that he'll be retiring in 6 months to give the board an opportunity to conduct a full nationwide search for his replacement. He cited that he's been in the industry for, I believe, nearly 30 years. He's not stopping in any way, but yes, it is time. He says it's time for him to retire and enjoy other aspects of life.
All right, we'll discuss it. Okay, So go ahead, Mr. Blake, while we have you on the horn.
Okay, so we'll start with the number, because during the AAC meeting, I believe it was Ms. Rush who raised a question asking how many drivers have tested positive for COVID and what do we do? And so the number from January through December that we have is 64 drivers have reported to us of having tested positive for COVID.
And that's from last year of 2020, right?
Yeah, no, 2021.
I'm sorry, 2021, where am I seeing?
Yes, 2021 through, yeah, this is 2021. January sorry, 2020, through December of 2021. And what happens, the driver would be held out of service for 10 days. Recently, this Center for Disease Control dropped such quarantine requirements to 5 days. So now drivers who inform us that they've tested positive for COVID are held out of service for 5 days. But the driver would be held out for 10 days. And we would then contact every customer who that driver had provided a trip to in the prior 14 days. And we would inform them that a driver who transported you on one of your trips, we would give them the date of the trip and the time of the trip and the gender of the driver so that it can help the customer remember where they were going or coming from, et cetera. And we would let them know the facts. The facts are there is no proof that the driver had COVID at the time that they transported you, but following the guidelines of the federal government, we're conducting this contact tracing. If you feel any symptoms of COVID, or if you believe you have underlying health conditions that you just need to be precautious, you can call your doctor and the doctor can advise you as to whether or not you need to get a test just to be sure. So those calls, and if you could imagine, there were dozens of trips per driver and we contacted everybody as best we could. We didn't talk to them directly. We left a message and many customers called us back and we provided the information again. So that's what we've been doing. And we're continuing to do that. There was a big lull in tests and positive tests from the early spring to the end of the year. And then with Omicron, even through Delta, there wasn't really a great bump in the number of drivers testing positive. But then with the Omicron variant, there just was a huge spike in the nation, but as well as among our drivers. But again, through planning, preparation, most customers didn't recognize an impact to their service. In fact, the only days that really had any negative impact in a large way was the Monday and Tuesday of the snow of the prior week when the region was kind of surprised by the amount of snow that came down. But overall, and another impact to drivers, just so you know, because the question was how many drivers tested positive. There's been another impact to drivers, and that is when a customer calls us or relays to the driver that they have tested positive for COVID. And again, if a customer tells us that the driver is then held out of service for 10 days to make sure that they haven't been infected, if you will, by the customer. So
question.
I'll give you a question real quick. So that's how we've been addressing this. Drivers get tested, they test positive, we hold them out of service. The government guided timeline, and then we inform all the customers about the positive test. So, Mr. Mangrum, you have a question?
Yes, my question is this: were all the many drivers being tested for COVID? Is it going to be a big strain on Metro Access service? And do we have to let you know maybe 2 days in advance to schedule stuff, or can we just schedule stuff the day before?
Nothing has changed because, again, through planning and incentives and working with our contractors, customer experience has not been impacted whatsoever. So there's no change in how long you have to schedule. There should be no impact to your service experience. Does that mean you're going to get 100% on time performance? Of course, as we always say, that's our goal. And our target is 90%, but as Ms. Rush likes to remind me, it used to be 92.5, although we've been exceeding that, of course. But the point is, we were prepared for this. We thought we were prepared, and we planned to be prepared. So even if there are a lot of drivers, and we hope there are no more, we hope that we've gotten past this recent spike, but your service has not been impacted previously, and we don't anticipate your service being impacted going forward.
My question
is Tino.
This is Zeno. Okay.
Tino. Go ahead, Tino.
Hello.
Tino, yes, sir.
Christian, many, many months ago, I had been advocating for germicidal ventilators to be placed on buses and, of course, on the metro rail cars. It was done first on metro rail cars. Have the buses been equipped with germicidal ventilators, that is UVC ventilators?
Now, let's put it this way. On the metro bus vehicles, I believe I am aware that they have installed ventilators, but that's a belief. But I wouldn't even go as far as to say the specific ventilators you're referring to. I would ask Ms. Sharma to take down a note for me to follow up, and I will talk to the management of bus and bus engineering to get the specifics of what type, if any, ventilators have been installed on the Metro bus. I will tell you, we have not installed, yes, sir. We have not installed ventilators on the Metro Access vans, as those and the sedans, as those vehicles provide ample opportunity for us to utilize the health strategy of ventilation along with the mask wearing. So we've been focused on the Metro Access side on ventilation.
Yeah, you and I have been in contact about the vans, but now that you reported that 64 bus drivers in 2021 alone
Metro Access drivers, not regular bus drivers.
Yeah, not Metro bus drivers. I'm reporting on Metro Access.
Yeah, this is specific to Metro Access, Tino.
Okay, I'm sorry, Paul, but I would be interested in any event later to find out what was done about buses.
My suggestion is to bring that up at the bus and rail subcommittee meeting. Thank you. So Mr. Blake, my question to you,
well before you go, Mr. Chairman, just out of respect, Ms. Coles had her hand up, and I think she has a quick question.
Go ahead, Ms. Coles.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, so I'm just curious, now your drivers get 10 days off, is that with pay? Because I work for the government and they only give us 5 days off with pay.
At this point in time, given that the drivers are employees of individual companies, I really prefer not to talk about their salary and pay. We're focused on the health aspects of it, and the health aspects required them to be off for 10 days. And with those 10 days, because that was the guidance by the government, although it's been reduced now to 5 days, our planning for the service, which is the impact here, our planning for the service is that even if the drivers were off 10 days, the customer service experience, the experience of the customer on using the service would not be impacted.
Well, that's the question then. Why are they doing 10 days when the government is only doing 5?
They were doing 10 days because at the time, that was the guidance of the Center for Disease Control, is that if you came in contact with someone who was positive with COVID-19, you should quarantine for 10 days. That was the guidance of the federal government for health purposes. recently the CEO.
You referring to 2021?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And recently the CDC reduced that quarantine period from 10 days to 5 days. So now when a driver has tested positive or have come in contact, they are now out for 5 days.
Okay, I just wanted clarification. Thank you.
Yes.
Is there another hand, Ms. Anu?
Chair Samford, Rico has put a message in the chat. I would read it, but I belong. It's not a Metro Access related question.
Do you ask him if he can save it for customer comment period?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It's actually bus and rail. So we'll mark it down with our follow up, and I will address this during the next AAC or bus and rail. It's about baby seats on Metro bus, and we'll have to talk about that in another meeting.
Yeah.
Just okay. In the interest of time so that we don't run out of time for the interpreters.
Absolutely.
So your question, Mr. Chairman, for me, if you have one.
So my question is, I thank you for the numbers for last year. And I know there's no rough estimate, especially in the light of Omicron for January. I know January hasn't ended, or at least in your opinion, have you seen any spike in drivers this particular month? I guess you're saying there hasn't been any impact on service for this month of January of 2022.
That is correct. In the first couple of weeks, there were a lot of cases, a lot in terms of just, you know, several drivers. The last week or so, I think I've only had to forward three messages to my assistant to conduct the contact tracing calls. So it fluctuates, but it has been going down since the first 2 weeks of this month. And again, yes, the service overall has not been impacted, because that's how we planned it. Some plans don't always work, of course, but that's how we planned it. We plan to have enough drivers so that if some have to sit out, the companies would have backups to fill in the spot. And if they got sick, then the people would come back on and you would rotate in that way as long as there's a variant floating around.
That's good to hear, because like I said, in other cities, we were told in advance, do expect, with Omicron, there might be service delays, here, regular Metro and other cities. So I'm glad that you are, proactively planning for shifts in, staffing shortages.
Well, you're dealing with the Blake Williams team. This is Mitch. I know you roll your eyes. I like that one. Oh, but can I just add one thing? Can we shift to a subject? It's related to this, but we have to move forward a little bit, just real quick.
Go ahead.
Because you raised a point, and so I think this is something that's key for everybody who's listening and for folks, so that we don't delve into an issue we spent, I think, an inordinate amount of time on last year. As you just mentioned, Mr. Semaphore, Metro Bus has already announced service reductions.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that last year. I'm not sure if Metro Rail has reduced service, but I think there's some reduction of service going on the rail side as well. Metro Access under Blake Williams, sounds like a campaign. Okay. Metro Access, once again, throughout a COVID-19 variant pandemic, hopefully moving towards the endemic, as they say, is not reducing service at all. What does that mean, though, when it comes to Metro Access fares? So we want to move away from conspiracy theories and everything else. I want to try to be as clear and direct as I can about the fares. We have two choices. Metro Access could either follow the service reductions and cut off service for hundreds, perhaps thousands of customers, or we can go in the direction we are going, which is to not reduce service at all. Well, what does that mean? That means then Metro Access is following the real schedule. And the real schedule includes the real fares. So if you go online mm-hmm. and you see that the fastest trip at a particular time is bus only, but your fare doesn't reflect bus only. That's because you're looking at a system that is a reduced service system, whereas Metro Access is still operating on the full service schedule. That's why there may be some differences in the fare that a customer pays versus what they may see on the trip planner.
So for instance, I'll give you a time period. So like I get, I have an appointment time to get somewhere by roughly 4:30 a.m. And of course, before that time, we know there's no rail, but I get a fare of $6.50. That could be the reason. That's one of the clearest examples I can have.
Only if there was rail at 4:30 in the morning previously, which there wasn't. So you shouldn't get a $6.50.
Yeah. That's what
Here's what could happen. Because there's rail reduced service on rail, technically, you try to pick up a time at 9:30, just picking up 9:30 from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There is no rail right now at 9:30 because the service has been reduced.
Mm-hmm.
But under the normal schedule, there was rail at 9:30. We're operating on that normal schedule because we're providing Metro Access with the full service.
Okay, got it.
The fixed route customers are not, because at that 9:30, the only option a fixed route customer will have is that bus. But if you want us to use that bus only schedule, then I have to reduce a whole lot of other service, which I know you all don't want. So I just want to start it off. I know this won't be the end of it, I'm sure, but I want to say it up front, as opposed to on the back end last year, that Metro Access is running our regular schedule based on the real overall Metro schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be times that the fare available on the trip planner is different than the fare a customer happens to be charged.
So my question with that then is, how do we package and explain this to customers? Because you know they're going to come back and say, like, why is it like this? How do we educate them is the question.
The main way to educate them is to point out that unlike bus and rail, which has reduced their service for the reasons of COVID and driver availability, Metro Access has not reduced its service. And therefore, in order to continue to provide service to everyone it was providing service to before COVID, Metro Access has to run on its regular schedule, which includes the regular fares.
Mr. Blake, this is Ms. Rush. My question is, recently the service has been reduced for the bus and been running on Saturday schedule.
Correct.
Well, Saturdays are $4 flat rate. How does that affect a Metro Access rider?
It doesn't on the weekdays because Metro Access isn't running a Saturday schedule Monday through Friday. Now, again, the answer would be, if you want the Saturday flat fare Monday through Friday, then that would result in thousands of people in Prince George's County and other places, maybe not thousands at this time. Last year would have been thousands, maybe hundreds of people in Prince George's County and other parts of the region not getting service because their trips would be out of the service area. And I know the AAC does not want that, but neither do I, nor my leadership. So we cannot give you the Saturday fares Monday through Friday because we're not running we're not running Saturday service Monday through Friday. We're running the full Metro Access service Monday through Friday, 24 hours. Does that help? Uh-oh, I hear the skepticism.
Go ahead, Ms. Rush. I see a second question coming.
No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just
the
question, and then I did a hum on it.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I heard the hum. All right, let's go to Phil Posner. Just in the interest of time, but if Ms. Rush has a follow-up, we can
I have a COVID-related follow-up, but Phil, go first.
Yes, we will discuss this during the budget part of our discussion. because it impacts greatly on that discussion, since the board is being asked by the retiring general manager to make all of the fares after 9 o'clock during the week flat at $2 for the late night service workers. And so the question will be, will Metro Access honor that?
Absolutely. Yes.
Right, and we can discuss it later. That's why I didn't interrupt now.
Okay, so let me go back to a COVID-related question that's similar to this topic. So Mr. Blake, in calling, you know, sometimes to the call center, I indirectly found out some of your staff, and I think Ms. Williams-Hall has alluded to it earlier, that some are working from home. I presume that's a mitigation strategy at the OCC because of this COVID surge. Is that correct?
That is correct as well, yes.
So that you don't have staff out and customers are not impacted by, you know, long wait times for where's my ride or reservations. I'm presuming that's the way you're, because there's a lot of staff there since I've been there on tours.
That, right.
Spread them out, some of them, I guess, on some kind of schedule to work from home is depending on policy.
You got it. You said it just right. We want to spread the employees apart because as you all are, and we haven't taken a tour in a while, and we'll get back to it.
And the only reason I say that, because we know in Prince George's County in particular, where the call center lies, you have about over 30% positivity rate right now, which is very high. One in three people are getting COVID.
And we've had a couple of people in the call center. Now that doesn't impact customers directly, but we've had a couple of people in the call center, unfortunately, be impacted by this virus as well. And yes, Ms. Williams-Hall and the leadership of the call center contracting company, Envy, they worked very well together and worked hard together to come up with a plan so that COVID is one, you know, the contracting of COVID is one less reason for customers to be impacted when calling to book a trip or to find out where's their ride. By allowing the employees to work remotely, that keeps them spread apart, and we can continue to not have your service, as I've said all along, be impacted by this virus.
Because what I've noticed is the only time there's been long wait holds is only on inclement weather days. And that's understandably so because of what's going on, which was on the 3rd and maybe the few days following.
Right. And those days were rough days, both on the street, but as well as with the calls. And what we're trying to do, though, as well on those days, if you're working from home, you should be able to answer the phone. Now, the key is, or the challenge is, I think, and Ms. Williams-Hall wants to give more detail, she can, but there's a limited number of those employees. What we're trying to do now is get more of them by providing them the tools necessary to enable them to work from home, so that if I'm an employee who previously had not been working from home, all of a sudden a larger than expected snow comes down and I can't get to the office to take your call, now your service is being impacted. So that's what we're trying to do now, is actually not move everybody off site, but give more people the tools that if we need them offsite, they can work from home and the service impact is minimal, if at all.
Okay. That was just a noticing, because I kind of indirectly experienced it when the employee told me, oh, I'm working from home. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I guess I'm thinking this is a mitigation strategy.
Yeah, see, what we call that is TMI. I don't know if we need to be getting into that kind of conversation with our customers. So Ms. Ridgeway and Ms. Williams-Hall, you may want to talk about that. They're getting too friendly with Paul there. Maybe they know you're the chair.
No. What happened was I was asking to...
I'm joking. I'm teasing.
Just to be transparent, I was asking to be transferred to a supervisor. And when they told me they could not figure out how to do that because I'm working from home, that's how I found out that information.
Well, now that's important to know. So now Ms. Williams-Hall can hear that and Ms. Ridgeway can hear that and just continue the training and the development of our abilities when we're working remotely, not to reduce the type of service we can provide to the customers. That is good to know.
Yeah, because I was told that, she told me she was new and didn't know how to transfer because, you know, the trip was like way late out of the window. So that's why, you know, I was like, oh, okay, they're working remotely from home. That's, you know, that type of thing. So,
all righty. Well, you know, you could always call me when you have a late trip. No, I'm just joking. You know, no more jokes for today. We got to save some time. So,
all right. So are there any questions left about this subject as it relates to COVID in terms of the call center, in terms of the number of drivers, impact on service for any committee members? If not, we can move on to the next presentation by Ms. Williams Hall.
Chair Samford, this is Anu. We do not have anyone's hands up, but if we can go back to the AAC Safety Award.
Oh, okay. Oh, so the person has come. Okay, go ahead, yes. Mr. Work. You have the mic. Go ahead, Mr. Worth. Is he still there?
I'm checking just to make sure. He is, and he's off.
Sorry about that. I didn't unmute myself. I think Mr. Dixon is on. If he can say amen or hello, so we can see
hello,
your face.
Hello, I'm Joe Dixon.
Hey, there he is.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mr. Dixon. Okay. We'll get to my comments. I apologize. I had this all up and ready to go. Here it is. Okay. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Dixon. Joseph Dixon has been with National Express Transit at our Maryland location since June of 2021. During his tenure, he has not been involved in any preventable or non-preventable accidents. He was involved, however, in one non-preventable incident in October of 2021 when he noticed that a passenger had become unconscious and he called for emergency services. He kept calm during the situation, and after the passenger declined medical attention, he continued to drop her off safely at her destination. Prior to his quick response in October 2021, Mr. Dixon was recognized by a commendation that was actually received by the MTPD, the Metro Police Department. Just like to read some of the details of this. This came from the passenger. I would like to commend your driver, Joseph Dixon, on an exemplary service he provided to myself and my PCA on the date reported above. Mr. Dixon's approach from the very beginning of my window was pleasant and welcoming. He made sure that we safely were seated and comfortable. He performed his duty with such a feeling of sincerity that it felt like a son taking care of his mother. As we drew near to our destination, the weather turned threatening, but Mr. Dixon never left our sides as we disembarked the Metro Access vehicle. I understand that the driver accompanies the client to the door of the destination, but this was through horrible weather, and he did it without one thought of his own personal safety. He had made sure that we were safely inside and waited to make sure of that prior to leaving. In the last 90 days, okay, that's the end of the customer's accommodation. In the last 90 days, Mr. Dixon has not received any scoreable drive cam events, which is very unusual. It's very easy to get a drive cam event that it would come up if a driver were to brake hard or a rolling stop or have any type of collision. He attends all mandatory meetings, recertifications, and refreshers. He reaches out when he can, when he has concerns, whether it's related to safety or operations. Mr. Dixon has proven himself not only by the accommodations he receives, but his ability to strive to be better than the day before. He makes a habit of reporting to work early and greets any employee he encounters with a smile. He has no attendance issues and has surpassed many of his coworkers with his professionalism and work ethic. He genuinely cares about his passengers, ensuring they arrive within the window, is dressed in proper attire, and always putting safety first during transport. We value Mr. Dixon as an employee and look forward to his upcoming accomplishments here at National Express Temple Hills. Thank you, Mr. Dixon, for all that you do. If you'd like to make a comment, now is the time.
I just want to thank you for acknowledging me. And I will continue to strive to provide good customer service and do the best I can.
Thank you, sir, for all you do.
Okay.
James Hall?
Yes, I was trying to acknowledge him. Maybe my hand clap is staying up a little bit longer than I had anticipated. But no, thank you. Are you ready for me to transition to the next topic,
yes, Mr. Chairman? Please. Yes, okay. Ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Terrian Williams Hall, Director for Metro Access. And our current procurement for real-time traffic support is being processed by WMATA's procurement team. And it's expected now to materialize over the next several months, obviously with supply chain delays and other impacts from procurement employees being out ill. There's been a significant delay with this, but we expect for this to materialize over the next several months, and we will keep you updated as we make progress with this effort.
All right, because I know you told us this would be somewhat of a two-year project, and I know with the pandemic, this probably delays. Has a request for proposal been put out there yet, or...
So I want to make sure that we're discussing the same
thing. Or request for information, RFI, I'm sorry.
So when you mentioned Global Positioning System or GPS, we have found a solution in the Garmin devices.
Okay, that's right.
Remember, we shared that with you guys a few months ago. So we found the solution. Now we're just in the process of procuring enough devices for each one of our vehicles.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah,
got it.
So we're just waiting for that procurement process. So we expect that to be done within the next several months, and then installation only takes about a month and a half or so. So as soon as we can get the devices in, we'll have them installed. And honestly, we thought that would have been done in the January to February timeframe, but that was before all of the supply chain delays that we've recently encountered. So now we're hoping that it will be addressed over the next several months.
Oh, so there's a supply chain with even with that?
Yes. Supply chain and procurement delays.
Oh.
Yes.
Any questions from committee members? I'm hearing crickets here. Oh, my goodness.
Ms. Rush has her hand up.
Go ahead, Ms. Rush.
This is Ms. Denise Rush. Have you taken the ride to see, can it get to my house? We don't want to do it after. We want to do it before. You know, I told you all for years, it took a long time for you all to take the ride to see why we couldn't get to my house. But for the difficult areas, Ms. Bush's house, my house, and some other locations, have you all tested it?
Yes, ma'am. That was actually a specific part of our pilot, that we specifically had drivers to utilize the vehicles that transported you and some of the other customers that had more challenging pickup locations based on the way that the MDT was distributing the service. So we absolutely did include that in the pilot with success.
Just so, for clarification.
I remember we did it during the summer because I sat in trips that had that smaller device.
But just for clarification, Ms. Williams, just so we have it very clear, because I follow certain customers' trips because I got to make them perfect. No, but I don't believe Ms. Rush would. Are you saying we had a driver attempt to reach Ms. Rush's property, even though she didn't have an official Metro Access trip? Did we actually use the device to find her home?
So, Mr. Blake, unfortunately, this was so long ago, I'd have to go back in our records, but I will tell you that the pilot included specific instructions to transport Ms. Rush on one of the vehicles with the device. And off of my memory, I will tell you that we did, but this was really quite some time ago. almost a year ago. So I'd ask for an opportunity to go back and confirm.
Yes, let's just do that. Yeah, we'll confirm and report back. And if we have a record of a Garmin device finding her property, great. If we don't, we can use her address and a few others just as a second test. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Quite welcome.
Any other members who would like to make any comments or have questions?
Any other members?
And we have no hands raised. Chair Samaport.
Oh my, okay. I guess we can continue with the next topic.
I want to take the mic.
Okay. All right.
You got it?
Mm-hmm. Any members? Okay, going once, going twice. I guess we can go with the next topic with the WMATA budget. And I know we have hearings coming up. And Phil, you can help me with facilitating this.
Dr. Posner, Vanessa, you have raised your hand. Do you have a question or comment about the topic we were discussing?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Seem to want us to participate. I just want to know so I can take information back to the consumers that I report to. When is this projected to get the new GPS systems?
Hello. So yes, we're hoping to do that over the next several months. As I mentioned, we had originally thought they would be here and installed in the January, February timeframe, right? But considering the delays, you know, we're looking at another 3 to 6 months. Hopefully, not that long.
All righty. Thank you. I will take that information back to the consumers. Thank you.
All right. Going with the budget, is Phil available?
Yes.
I'm here.
I know we were asking with these budget hearings coming up that we were advocating for several things. There were three dates. And, you know, we normally when we did this in person, we would try to have a unified, I guess, talking point. So did you want to begin to discuss that?
Yes. I will remind everyone, Anu sent everyone an email last week, which has an update on what the board is doing with the budget as far as their service proposals go. The hearings are scheduled for 3 days at the beginning of February, the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. They will be combined hearings, both in person and by internet or telephone call. And every member of this committee and every one of their friends and family and constituents should be prepared to speak or produce a written comment or an audio comment, which will then be played at the meeting. So if you cannot attend the meeting physically or online, you can submit your recording or your written comment, and the recording will be played or the written comment will be read into the record. So it is critical that everybody show up. In the email that Anu sent down, there is a listing of the service proposals that the board is planning to introduce, including the changes in bus routes. So look at those, and if there is a bus route that is going to affect you or your constituents adversely, be prepared to defend yourself. It is the only effective way to do that. If you don't say anything, it's going to happen. So this is your opportunity. As far as
go ahead.
Talking points, I sent a suggestion of several.
Mm-hmm.
feel free to make your own or use these as a base. What we have spoken of is critical that we support the following board fair policy objectives: that fares should be customer focused, simple and convenient, make it simple, intuitive, and convenient for customers to purchase fares and take transit, equitable, maintain equitable fares and practices that promote broad access to regional mobility. They should be equitable across bus, rail, and metro access. Maximize ridership while ensuring adequate revenue cost efficiency. That's all in the email, so you don't have to take quick notes of what I just said.
Okay.
Then we talk about supporting the flat fare for metro access. And is a flat fare that is fair, which fits in with what their guidelines are, sustainable, which fits in with their guidelines, and it is within the FDA guidelines, so it is approvable by the FDA. Currently, in the 2023 budget proposal, Metro Access fares would be a flat $4 on weekends. And as I mentioned earlier, they are getting ready to approve the GM's proposal of a flat bus rail fare after 9 p.m., 7 days a week for late night workers. And so we should encourage the fact that Metro Access fares after 9 p.m., 7 days a week, mirror the bus rail flat fares. Mm-hmm. And then the next step, it's not unreasonable to say, how about that for Metro Access 24/7? And that's up to you to decide what you want to talk about. It's all written in the email.
Okay.
If there's any confusion, feel free to contact me or Paul or Patrick or Denise, and we will be happy to explain it. But bodies in the seats are going to be critical. The more people that show up, we are having felons permitted to ride Metro because 28 people showed up to a board meeting saying it was unfair to felons to take their smart cards away. That's pretty effective. We ought to be able to get 23 people to show up and request a flat fare.
And especially with the modes you could do it, if you're uneasy about this pandemic and don't want to show up in person, you have, again, the options, multiple options of doing audio, doing it on Zoom. Please contribute, and especially for committee members. We need as many committee member, AAC committee member bodies to come to these meetings. Again, you can do it virtually by Zoom. You can do it in person. My intent is to show up to all three in person, but that's my choice. You do have multiple opportunities during those 3 days. And either way, what you say is going to be presented regardless during those course of 3 days.
The thing that's important to go as many as possible, as Paul and Denise and Patrick know, is there will be a different board member at each of the meetings. And the entire board will vote on things that they do. And so the more that you can impact as many board members as possible, the more effective you will be.
Any other committee members on this topic? Ms. Rush or anyone else? All right, Manu, do you see anyone raising their hands?
I do not see anybody's hands raised, but I was just going to say, if anybody would like to make comments, please come off of mute and speak now.
This is Thomas.
Go ahead.
I would like to know, is there a site that we go to so we could join the three meetings that y'all just got through talking about?
So what's going to happen, that will be, information will be coming forth, I believe, anew after the 20th, as you indicated in the earlier email to all of us, on the starting on the around the week of the, well, this is the 22nd, the end of the month, before the meetings, but that window hasn't opened yet. Is that correct?
That is correct. And as soon as that information is available to be made public, I will be sending out emails to all the AAC members.
Okay, thank you.
Because she's done that traditionally, Thomas. And, you know, if you need assistance in registering, you know, you can contact Anu or even myself, mm-hmm. Or whatever mode you want to do it. To participate. We need everyone's to participate. Everybody on the AAC, every person, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that you know, they need to come to these hearings. It's about them and their livelihood with transportation here.
Okay, thanks.
All right, if there's no more comments, I am going to go ahead with the new. Is there anyone for public comments?
Yes, Chair. Barbara Melville wanted to make some public comments. Barbara, if you would like to make comments, please take yourself off of mute and go ahead and share your comments with us.
Hey there, Barbara Melville calling. I would like to make a comment about the newer way you're handling the paratransit reservations and the option, if there is one, for using Uber. I tried to sign up for that today, and I was informed that there is no form to do that, and that the Uber option is largely due to the rider when there's very late drivers getting to be picking them up. So my comment is that I believe there should be some type of a communication to the people, the ridership of Metro Access, so that they are aware of this newer option for them, that is Uber, sedan, taxi, or Metro Access van.
So what I'm hearing from you, Barbara, is that you have questions about the Abilities Ride program. I'm going to give you Mr. Blake to explain all that to you.
Well, I'm not asking for an explanation. I was told by the Metro Access supervisor all about it, so I think I have it clear, but I would like very much
likewise.
For
so,
somebody.
So let me clarify some things, Barbara, because you stated some things, and what we'll do is go back and listen to your call, and I would ask Ms. Ridgway to please, and you're not the only one. I get several calls a day often where we're getting mixed signals, but first and foremost, there is absolutely a web page that customers can go on and sign up for the Abilities Ride program. Thousands have already done so. So that is one thing. And I could text you or send you a link to the web page, and you can sign up right there on the web page. 8 easy questions. Ms. Rush and a few other stakeholders tested it out before we went public with it. So there absolutely is a website to sign up for it. The OCC team member was saying, in terms of being accurate to you, is that a customer cannot just call up and say, I want my trip on Uber. It is not up to the customer's discretion to choose which vehicle or which mode of service they're going to be on. With the OCC team member was saying is that if your trip were running late and Metro Access determined that a viable option for you to consider is Uber or a taxi, the Metro Access team will make that decision, reach out to you, and give you the option to say, yes, I would like my trip on Uber in the case that your trip is running late. However, the way the Abilities Ride program works is customer enrolls in the program. They can, and when they enroll in the program, they're telling Metro Access that you're giving us the permission to move one or more of your trips to Uber or a taxi company. And in exchange for placing your trip on Uber or a taxi, your trip will be free of charge. The night before the trip, so like tonight, going into tomorrow, the computer is working on it right now, and it's selecting trips that will be moved from Metro Access to Uber or taxi. And for those trips that are moved to Uber or taxi, the computer selects, those trips will be free of charge to the customers. So there are two aspects of it, but no, you can sign up for it. And two, the computer, Metro Access, will determine if your trip gets moved the night before. And then three, on the day of service, if your trip is still scheduled on Metro Access, but it's running late and there's a possibility that it could be a late pickup or an excessively late pickup, we may offer you the option to move your trip to a taxi or Uber. And if we move it, that trip will be free of charge.
Okay, excellent. That is very clear now. I appreciate that, Mr. Blake. If you could send that out to, because I said, well, how are we supposed to know about this? And he said, well, if you're in the queue waiting to make a reservation at Metro Access, then that may be played there for you to hear. Or there would be town hall meetings and that, well, I don't really know about town halls at this point. So I think it might be good if we do have the people's email addresses to send out a blast so that everybody has the same option. It does appear that it's word of mouth from the rider's perspective.
Okay, thank you. Well, we'll continue to outreach to the customers through IVR, through direct messaging, and we will continue to try to get the information to everybody, because we are, again, we've signed up about 1,500 people now. Our target is about 3,000, although everybody who's a Metro Access customer theoretically is eligible for the program. And also, you mentioned sedans. That's another situation where we do encourage customers during the booking process to say, I prefer to ride in a sedan or I prefer to ride in a van. And when it comes to a van, we will honor that for sure. When it comes to a sedan, we do our very best to honor it, although we're not guaranteeing it because we don't have enough vehicles to guarantee that. But we get, you know, I look at every trip every day and there are a lot of trips every day, more and more, where customers are saying, please put me in a car only, please sedan only. And I love that. That's what we wanted and that's what we expected to occur. And we do our very best to accommodate everybody's desires because we want the customer to be as comfortable and as convenient as possible when it comes to their travel. We can't guarantee everything, but we're doing our very best to make Metro Access an accommodation service. You ask for it, we'll give it to you to the best extent possible.
Thank you.
All righty. So any other customers for customer comment period?
Chair Samford, this is Anu. We received no customer comments or feedback through the voicemails or emails for this meeting. And at this point, I do not see any hands up either. Tino, are you trying to make some comments?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Hello?
All right.
Okay, remember, thank you.
Thank you. So at this point right here, I know it's 5:10. Is there any other burning Metro Access issue to be made? If not, we can't. Well, a new first. I think you want to make your usual spiel if people have customer comments.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just as a reminder, if anybody would like to make any public comments, you can either send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. Send us your comments in writing to that email, and we will be happy to receive them and process them as needed for the respective meeting. Or if you would like, you can call and leave a message at 202-962-1100, and we will receive your messages through that voicemail. If you do leave a message, please do leave your name. If there's any ID number, please provide us with that and your message so that we can contact you accordingly. Thank you, Chair Somerville.
Oh, I do have a question to ask Mr. Blake or Ms. Anderson, one of the two of y'all. My question is, with the weather that's been going on, I just want to get on record, as y'all done previously, for this rough spot of probably this month and next month, will customers be given grace for late cancellations, giving this, record weather as y'all have done in the past?
We have certainly been doing that, just like we have been in the past. On severe weather days, if we're seeing a whole slew of, no shows, late cancellations or whatnot, we're definitely recognizing that's due to the impact of the weather. And we don't want to hold customers accountable for that.
I just want to, make sure that, we giving them grace, especially in these circumstances, because for their safety, we want them, if necessary, to stay home if it's the situation warrants.
Absolutely.
Ms. Coles, you had a question?
Vanessa, you're on mute. If you'd like to speak, please remove yourself from mute. There we go.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's more of a concern. I'm not sure there's an answer to this, but when I am trying to check on my accounts using my cell phone, the system is so fast that if I don't key that stuff in fast enough, I can't get the necessary information.
Is there is this what your Easy Pay account?
Oh, just if I'm just using my cell phone to access Metro Access in that case, yeah, let's use Easy Pay, yes. Because if you put it in fast enough, you're not going to get into the system. Is there any way to slow that down?
So I could help answer that, because I had that question a few years ago when I was inputting it, and I know staff and maybe Ms. Williams Hall or Ms. Anderson or Mr. Blake can answer. There was a way, at least when I experienced that, because I was testing it, that they can do some adjustments if necessary.
Yeah, because for people that, that some of them double tap to put enter in a character, I have mine on single tap. So as soon as I release it, it keys it in. And that's about as fast as we can go. But even with that, if you don't move your fingers fast, you're not going to get the information.
So which one of the three I want to take a crack at this?
I didn't hear it.
Oh, no, I'm talking to the staff.
Oh.
Metro Access staff who wanted to respond.
I can respond.
I was going to say, I volunteer, Allison.
Yeah, I can respond because I remember this coming up in the past. Mrs. Semaford, I think with you and Mr. Crawford. So I know that we've gone through a couple of iterations, I think, with the upgrade of Trapeze over the years, even since, I think, our last conversation with this. So I'd just like the opportunity to maybe go and investigate and see what we can do to facilitate maybe slowing down the IVR to allow folks to enough time to input the information that they need to get the information that they're trying to get. So if I could do that, and then I could wrap back around with the committee at the next meeting to let you know what we've done on that front.
Because I did remember several years ago, it kind of happened and I was trying it, and y'all were able to make the adjustment, and it worked well, and I didn't hear any other customer complaints. You know, just as an accommodation for everybody. Yes, Vanessa, Ms. Anderson will work with you on this issue.
That would be great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Ms. Rush, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Just information, sharing information. A former AAC committee member and customer, Michelle Clark, passed last week.
Oh, my God.
So keep her family and the blind community. She was a hard worker as far as the National Harbor chapter, and she was on the AAC many years before I came on board with the committee. She was on the committee, and I just wanted to announce that.
And I remember she was just as wonderfully an advocate and very vocal like you.
Yes.
A mirror image of you. She taught
me. Not quite, but she was an advocate.
Denise, this is Pat. I remember her. She's good on the committee.
Yes, there's not a lot on the committee now that remember her, but there's a few.
Yeah, a few of us.
And Pat, you owe me a phone call. I've been calling you and you won't return my call.
Well, I haven't seen you. I'll call you.
All right. Thank you. So
I didn't get your messages. I didn't.
If there are no other concerns. Yes.
This is Anir. Rico typed in a comment that he has some questions. Rico, do you have any questions Metro Access related?
Because this would be for Metro Access, because some of the questions I think you may have might be for bus rail.
I'm trying to make sure that he's still on the meeting with us. He is.
Okay. But Paul, this is Ms. Rush, because we are early, even though they might not be Metro Access questions, I think he should be allowed to ask them because we aren't really close to 6 o'clock yet.
This is Tino. I agree.
Okay, I get it. I guess I'm getting overruled. Go ahead, Rico. And I'm sure Mr. Blake will be listening and will respond.
Hey, I'm missing him. I'm sorry. One more time. He's kind of shaky. I'm missing what he's saying. He's saying, suppose there's a baby seat set up on the bus. They're sitting in the bus and it's kind of stuck. What do we do? I mean, what do we do? The question about the baby seat, what do we do with that on the bus?
Okay, so let's start with, is the baby seat in one of the priority seats?
Yes, it's in a priority seat.
Okay, so as is the case when it comes to priority seats, you can ask the driver to ask the customer if they would allow a seat for you. However, it is highly unlikely that a driver will ask a mother or parent or person accompanying a child in a baby seat to move their seat. So if that baby seat is occupying, let's say, the last priority seat, or the priority seats on the other side are folded up because there's a customer and a wheelchair or mobility device over there, then again, you may ask the driver, because that is your right. It is highly unlikely that a driver is going to make a parent with a baby in a baby seat move. So then the next best thing is just to find the next available seat. And if there are no available seats, let's just say the bus is overwhelmed, what the driver could do, or in fact should do, if the priority seats are all occupied, the driver, he or she, should make an announcement informing that the priority seats are occupied, but we do need one of the seats, and will somebody voluntarily vacate their seat. That happens on occasions, depending on the circumstances, but that is what that would be the circumstances you're in at that time. I highly, highly doubt any driver will make a baby seat be removed for another passenger. That's just the reality of where we are today. So if all the priority seats are occupied, the driver then should ask if someone else would voluntarily vacate a seat so that the customer in need of the priority seat could still have a seat, even if it's not one of the priority seats.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Hearing the quickest, can I get a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 All right. All right, we're adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Anu.